time in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Ephesians 5, verse 15. So pay attention, pay close attention. I think one translation says, carefully watch. Pay close attention to how you walk. This is the seventh time in two chapters that Rav Shaul has used the verb walk. He's everything. We were told to walk in unity. We were told to walk in holiness, both in chapter 14 and chapter 4. Earlier in chapter 5, we were told to walk in love, and we were also told to walk in light. Now we're told to walk in wisdom. Pay close attention to how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of your time, because the days are evil. For this reason, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And do not be drunk on wine, for that is recklessness. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. That's the Spirit of God, in case there's any concern about what kind of spirit that is. Here in this passage, there are three contrasts. Not this, but this. First, not unwise, but wise. Secondly, not foolish. It's interesting that unwise and foolish are different. They're not the same thing. They're exactly the same thing. Not foolish, but instead following the Lord's will and purposes. And then thirdly, not drunk on wine, but instead filled with the Spirit of God. Right there, tucked in the middle, is this idea of make the most of your time, because the days are evil. And as I read this over and over, I was like, okay, I understand these contrasts going on. It's a very Rav Shaul, very Paul-like kind of setting up dichotomies and differences. Not unwise, but wise. Not foolish, but understanding God's will. Not drunk, but filled with the Spirit. But then we have this, make the most of your time because the days are evil. I understand, or so I've come to recognize this week, that the verb there it literally means buy back. Buy back time. I think one translation I saw said redeem the time, which is not exactly the same idea as redeem as in atonement, redeem. It's almost, the idea is like a business transaction. Buy back time, because the days are evil, is like, well, I'd like time to stand still. In fact, if I could rewind, you know, some things, that might be neat. Some things I don't want to rewind. I don't want to go back to junior high for any amount of money. That was the worst 3 years of my life. But buy back time. Get time back. Wouldn't we like to do that? Because we everything seems like it's so frantic and so fast-paced. So, you know, I wake up on a Friday going, okay, tomorrow's Shabbat. And it's like, again, and, you know, how many, you know, things are on my to-do list that, haven't quite been done this week? And what needs to happen for the Sabbath? And it's a push. And it's, I can't believe it's already been a month nearly since Passover started. And time just falls over on itself. Going faster, and it's like one day is not over before it feels like I have a bunch of other things to do. I love the way, if I may quote Rod, I love the Rod's little quip, I'm still preparing for last week. No, it's not. It's the way we all feel. We just don't have a funny way to put it. It just goes so fast. Got out my calculator and did a little. It was my phone actually. You know, you do everything on your phone now. 1,000 seconds. How long is 1,000 seconds? It's actually about 1,000 seconds is about 4 minutes. About 16 minutes. 1,000 seconds is about 16 minutes. What is 1,000,000 seconds? I found this kind of interesting. I would come up with these ideas. 1,000,000 seconds is about 11 days. 11 days in a few hours. And then I thought, well, what's 1,000,000,000 seconds? This really blew my mind. It literally helped me understand how much bigger a billion is than 1,000,000. 1,000,000 seconds is 11 days. 1,000,000,000 seconds is 31 years. When they talk about the national debt being in the trillions, you know, that you can play that number out and think about how many a trillion seconds would be and how big that number is. Sorry, I didn't mean to get into that. But time, it's really, really interesting. God created time, but here he tells us something that on some level doesn't make sense. Buy back time. And so therefore, because it doesn't make sense, even your Bible translators don't know what to do with that. Some just say, redeem time. This translation, which is a Messianic Jewish translation, says, make the most of your time, which actually the pronoun is not in there, and they're trying to understand, so they're trying to do a dynamic equivalent. Another translation goes in the same direction. It says, make the most of every opportunity. Which ends up meaning something like, do your best to serve God or something like that. But actually, Rav Shaul's already made that kind of discussion actually earlier in Ephesians, where he said, we are God's workmanship created in advance to do good works. God is working in us to do his good works. And then in chapter 4, he said that he brings then us together as individuals into a community so that as we as individuals do and serve and how we are to serve, it builds up the entire congregation. So I set that understanding aside. I was like, I think there's something else going on here. There's something more than just, you know, carpe diem, you know, seize the moment. When it says buy back time. I found one interesting sermon online. I thought, I wonder what other people have done with this. So I actually typed it in Google. Charles Wesley was the founder of the Methodist Church, and by the way, then therefore all the holiness traditions that flow out of that, which is actually much bigger than just the Methodist Church. Charles Wesley actually interpreted it in terms of sleep. You know, redeem your time, that is, don't sleep too much. And then he had a whole sermon on sleep. I thought, well, isn't that interesting? That's fascinating, but I still don't think that's where... I'm just not satisfied. I think there's something greater. And then I thought of a passage in the Tanakh, actually. Psalms, Psalm 90. It's said to be written by Moses. It's the only psalm that's expressly said to be written by Moses. Lord, you have been our dwelling place through all the generations. God is our home. I really like that. Where do you live? God is your home. You live in God's presence. And it goes on to talk about how God is from everlasting to everlasting. God, you gave birth to the earth, and from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. For 1,000 years in your sight are but yesterday, and as a watch in the night. The night divided into three sections, just a few hours each, through which most of us sleep. And we're completely unaware of. But that's like 1,000 years. A watch in the night would, of the three watches, that'd be 4 hours. 1,000 years to God is like 4 hours. And we're asleep. And we don't even recognize the passing of 4 hours, much less a day, much less 1,000 years. God's timetable is kind of different than ours. You carry them away as a flood. They are in a sleep. In the morning, they are like grass which sprouts. In the morning, it blooms. In the evening, it withers. A flower that blooms for a single day. I should have called Lori or Andrea and said, tell me, what is a flower that just blooms for one day? What? And Charlene, you said? A daylily? You guys are smarter than I am. So there's the example. It blooms and it's gone. In verse 8, Moses said, you have set our sins before you. But then it even tightens that up. Not only are our sins set before God, it comes back and says even our secret sins are placed in the light of your countenance. For all our days are past in your anger. We bring our years to an end like a tale. The story ends and it's gone. It's interesting, as I was reading this, that the word in Hebrew for face, or what here says the light of your countenance, which means face, the word is literally from the verb that means to turn. Somebody's face is the part of their body that can turn, right? We're said in the priestly blessing, it says God lifts his face. He turns his face toward us to look us in the eye. God turns his face. Our secret sins are turned, and the light of God's turning shines even on our secret sins. Then the very next phrase into verse 9 says, for all our days, in this translation it says, pass away. The verb is again the verb to turn. The same root that we get face from. So literally, in the space of like 4 or 5 words in Hebrew, it says God's light turns, and therefore our days turn. Same Hebrew root for the verb turn and face. It's a pun going on here in the Hebrew. Sorry to get overly technical. Because God's face turns on us, our years, our days turn away, or as this says, pass away. We bring our years to an end like a tale, except it's even shorter than that. What's shorter than that? What's shorter than a minute? A second. 1,000 seconds in 16 minutes. But what's shorter than a second? A nanosecond. A moment. Do you guys ever remember the movie with Barbara Streisand? The musical? And the guy says, sings a song about he falls in love, not in a minute, something shorter than a minute, something shorter than a second. And then he says, a moment. And he sings a song about, in a moment, what's that musical? Hello, Dolly. Yes, thank you. If you didn't know it, I have this little secret love for musicals. So, in a moment, our years come to an end. It's even shorter than the end of a tale that is told, which is how this translation takes it. It's even shorter. In a moment. And verse 10 then unpacks this idea of our days that come to an end. It says, the days of our years. Most translations just smooth that out and says the length of our life is 70 years. The Hebrew literally pulls it out and it says the days of our years are 70 years. Not just our years, but the days of our years, emphasizing not just years that pass, but days, tick, 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 that pass along. The days of our years are 70. Nice old English. 70 years. And if you're strong, you'll make it to 80. Thank God that some of you have even passed that. Their only pride is their travail and nothingness. Travail and nothingness. For it speeds by and we fly away. Wow, it makes it personal there. Talking about the days of our years speed by and we fly away. Kind of flutter off. Wow. It's kind of like, Moses, you're kind of depressing. For all our days pass away. We bring our years. It's interestingly, it's not God who brings our years to an end. We bring our years to an end like a tale, like a sigh, like a moment. They speed by and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear that is due you? Who knows? Who can understand? So here's the answer that Moses gives. So God, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to account, to recognize, to be aware of. Teach us to number our days so that we can gain a heart of wisdom. In verse, then listen, once having done that, listen to the change in tone to what is said about our days in verses 14 and 15. In verses 14 and 15, satisfy us in the morning. Remember, it's earlier in the psalm, it said it was morning that those plants sprouted up just to wither at sunset. But in verse 14, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may rejoice all our days. Satisfy us in the morning with your chesed, which means your loyal love, your covenant love, your chesed. Satisfy us with your love and let us rejoice all our days. Those days that turn, those days that evaporate, like the sound of a story coming to an end. A sigh, just the passing breath. Satisfy us in the morning that we may exult and rejoice all our days. Make us rejoice according to the days that we were afflicted, the years we have seen evil. Make us rejoice for all the days we were afflicted and all the years we've seen evil. How can Moses say we can do this? Because we learn to count our days. Teach us, God. Literally, cause us to know how to count. In verse 11, it says, God, who can know the power of your discipline? But the next verse says, cause us to know how to count our days. What is the antidote to understanding the power of God's discipline? Of keeping our days from turning, of our days the days of our years being 70, maybe 80 in our own strength? God says, in Him, we can learn to count our days. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness. Cause us to rejoice. Sometimes we think that rejoicing comes easy. You know, oh, we're happy. You know, put on a happy song and we'll have some cake and pizza. You know, we'll have a party. Some people think partying is so easy. The kind of rejoicing that God wants is something that He has to do for us, in us, through us. Moses says literally, cause us to rejoice. Make us rejoice according to the number of days, to the same measure that we have been afflicted and disciplined. God, cause us to have that much joy. According to the years we have seen evil. And then let your work be revealed to your servants. And let your majesty be on their children. What's going on here? At the beginning of the psalm, it talked about how our days turn, like the turning of a face. When God turns the light of His face on us, the result is our days turn and fall away and fly away. The days of our years are so short. But then at the end of the psalm, it talks about exulting and rejoicing all our days. Make us rejoice according to the days that we have been afflicted by God's discipline. The years we have seen evil, then we can rejoice all our days. It speaks of our life in a completely different way. Things are renewed. I like to call it a divine reversal. God takes things that we do in our lives, and in His transformation, He turns them on their head. Or maybe it's that really He turns them back right again. Maybe we were the ones standing on our head and didn't know it. And He reverses things, not just what putting the broken pieces back together, which He says that He will mend broken lives, broken hearts. I love how Yeshua says, I have come to seek and save that which is lost. And usually that's applied to people. But that's not actually what the context, what the verse says. He says, He comes to seek and save the lost things. He brings things back to us, including time, including the days and the years that have ticked by and passed, that have turned and fallen over, that speed by. And we're gone because we fly away. In the Haftorah portion, Gail read, did you catch that it talked about time? She read how in God's coming to bring blessing to His people, time is reoriented. It says it poetically. It says, the reaper will catch up with the sower. Talking about an agricultural context. Usually, correct me if I'm wrong, but usually sowing, planting happens in the spring and reaping happens in the summer and the fall. But in those series of blessings that Gail read from the Haftorah, portion in Amos, it talks about the reaper will catch up with the sower. It's an alteration of time. The sower won't be able to sow fast enough before there's already things sprouting and growing and ready to reap. Time then, in the agricultural sense, takes on a new dimension. It's a poetic way of talking about time being renewed and freshness and joy and provision. So, when Rav Shaul, in our passage, I assert that he's getting towards something like Psalm 90. He says, back to Ephesians 5, he says, don't be unwise, but wise. Counting time because the days are evil. I'm not saying he's quoting Psalm 90, but it has the same context. What did verse 12 of Psalm, was it 12? No, 8 or 9. It said, teach us to number our days so that we will gain a heart of wisdom, so that we'll gain wisdom because we can count our days, so that we can buy back the days, we can redeem the days, and we'll gain wisdom. Rav Shaul says, be wise counting the days because the days are evil. What did the verse 14 say in Psalm 90? It says that he will make us rejoice in those days that he has afflicted us, the years we have seen evil. The vocabulary is at least the same as Psalm 90. Redeeming time, buying back time. In God, by the way, Psalm 90 is specifically about discipline from God. It speaks of his anger at our sin, even our secret sins, which cause our days to wither. But in his loyal love, his chesed, we are satisfied and renewed, and we can rejoice in those days that we have been afflicted. The days are renewed, they spring back on themselves, as Gail pointed out in Amos chapter 9. I don't know that I've fully wrapped my head or heart around this idea, so I'm still struggling to find a way to punch it here at the end with an application. I just find this really interesting. We talk about time passing so fast, but with God, when he teaches us to number and count our days and gain a heart of wisdom, there's a new satisfaction. There's a new presence of wisdom, understanding God's will that comes in that experience. Allow me to close, because I don't know exactly how to say it at the end. Let me put it in the words of Marty Goetz. Marty Goetz, the Jewish singer-songwriter. From a song he published in 2006 called Teach Us to Number Our Days. It goes like this. Oh, how we love this place, this time, but it is not our destination. We struggle, we strive to run this race, with all of the strength we can bring. Then in what is but a blink of an eye, we finish our years like a sigh. So help us now, Lord, show us how we can redeem days that pass like a dream. And the chorus, and teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days, to be glad and rejoice in them. For 1,000 years in your sight is merely a watch in the night. So before they all fly away, teach us to number our days. And the bridge goes like this. We're given to pride, so unsatisfied. Still you provide such mercy. In light of our sin, how can we begin to thank you for placing your beauty within? And teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days, to be glad and rejoice in them. For 1,000 years in your sight is merely a watch and a night. So before they all fly away, teach us to number our days.